Very, very busy week here in the Vatican and in Rome.
Exactly. That's always a huge problem for us because our time is so limited. And so it's like you have to pick the cream of the crop. There's this huge crop of speeches and meetings and so forth. And then we just have to like give a summary of a few events. For example, there was a plenary of the Congregation for the Evangelization of Peoples. And really, without going into too much of the Pope's talk, he really did kind of focus his talk to the members of the plenary to be on guard. He asked evangelizers to be on guard against relativism. He said it infiltrates society and manipulates consciences. And he said this entire relativistic culture enters the sanctuary of the family. It infiltrates the realm of education and other realms and contaminates them, manipulates consciences, and especially those of the young. So he's kind of saying, okay, we know the Holy Spirit is working, but we also have to be realistic and kind of be on guard against that. So very interesting assembly there. And another real interesting thing, we just can't do this show without mentioning this. I thought it was absolutely fascinating that we learned something about the Pope we did not know until this week, and that is that Pope Benedict writes emails and surfs the internet. I can't see him spending, you know, 3 hours after lunch doing this every day, but I am sure. It was Archbishop Celi who heads Claudio Maria Celi, who heads the Social Communications Council, and he said the Pope's enthusiasm for the internet has made him comfortable with the new technology. And in fact, he uses the internet and email. And he was on an Italian TV program called Studio Aperto, and he said Benedict doesn't have a personal email address. I'm not sure how that works to send email. I think you'd have to have an address, but anyway. But and here's the Archbishop said he does send his own emails. He does. You know, he was just kind of emphasizing that fact and said he has great appreciation for the technology and he wanted to make sure that all the listeners knew the Pope, of course, cannot answer the millions of emails that do come to a Vatican address because, you know, they do post one every so often, like if it's his birthday or feast day or something else like that. So I think it's kind of fun to think that our Holy Father finds some time to know this new technology. And I'm guessing, really, that he does that so that he can talk knowledgeably about it. He know it, when he's going to talk about the new communications, he's going to sound believable because he sat at a computer, done emails, seen what the internet can do, probably explored the Vatican website. And
I'm sure he's done that.
Yeah. Oh, exactly. But I mean, it's good for him, I think, to have this knowledge and be able to speak knowledgeably about that. So those are kind of interesting things. But of course, the highlight of the week, as we know from snarled traffic and everything else,
Sure. We're all the world leaders here in Rome for the FAO,
the World's Food and Agriculture. It's the UN Office, Food and Agricultural Organization.
That's right. And they were discussing food security. And the Pope 3 days was there on Monday.
It was
16th.
There on Monday. You know, basically, the focus of his message, and this was a title I put in an article I wrote on it for my blog, the title, Yes, the World Can Feed All Its People. And that was one of the, he had many, many different messages. But it really was for a very just, equitable distribution of the food. The food's there. But you can't be commandeered by a couple of very wealthy nations. And it just has to be distributed better. And he warned about the greed of speculators in the market. He talked about, for example, wheat speculators, so that the price of food goes up so that the people who might only have wheat or rice or something like that to eat during the day, they can't even afford that. And he said food cannot really be treated like any other commodity. Food is a right. It's essential to our lives. And he criticized the aid that does grave damage to the agricultural sector. And he said those approaches to food production that are geared solely towards consumption and lack a wider perspective. But he's talking about the distribution of food. You know, he said the international community has this great, huge economic crisis. We know that. And because of that, even more people now are suffering from hunger. So there has to really be something done and by the international community to help these people. The rise in the cost of food and the absolute basics that so many people just do rely on wheat or rice or a couple of essentials to keep them going. And the Pope spoke of the He said there's a reduction in economic resources available to the poorest people and their limited access to markets and food, notwithstanding the well-known fact the world has enough food for all its inhabitants. And I underlined this part of his talk where he said St. Paul speaks eloquently on this subject. You probably have all these food experts and heads of state and government going, St. Paul? St. Paul said in a letter to the Corinthians, I do not mean that others should be eased and you burdened, but as a matter of equality, your abundance at the present time should supply their want so that their abundance may supply your want, and in this way there will be equality. That's St. Paul. That's 2,000 years ago. I mean, that is totally amazing. So it was a very important conference that the Pope addressed. I know there's an awful lot of disagreement. I don't know that the world leaders went away with some of the agreements that they wanted to, and I don't think they went home with a lot of the financial promises of governments to help donate money and ease the burdens of some of the other nations.
But, I think a lot of people were discouraged by or disappointed by what the outcome of that conference.
I think so.
I think it was, what, $44 billion a year that looking for? Financial aid.
Sounds right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that was rejected. So
no, it really is sad, and it's like, you know, the Pope's words were just, you know, fell on deaf ears.
But in a bit of a lighter tone, we have to look at Wednesday's general audience where the Pope spoke of the beautiful things in this world. Art.
I was fascinated by this, and I'll tell you why. The Pope said he wanted, after talking about medieval theology, he said, I would like to turn my attention to how the Christian faith of the Middle Ages inspired some of the greatest works of art of all time, the cathedrals of Europe. And then he goes to talk on Romanesque cathedrals, distinctive for their size and for introducing to churches beautiful sculpture and so forth.
This is quite significant, too, because of Saturday's meeting between the Pope and many of the world's artists.
Right, and exactly.
In the Sistine Chapel.
Right. Artists of all, we're talking about music, sculpture, art, and so forth. And so, but what fascinated me, Pope talks about Romanesque cathedrals. And then he said Gothic replaced the Romanesque, adding height and luminosity. And Gothic translates the aspiration of the soul into architectural lines and is a synthesis between faith, art, and beauty, which raises our hearts and minds to God. But you mentioned the artist, and of course he's meeting them in the Sistine Chapel. And so that ought to be, and that's not really very big. I don't know how many people total the Sistine can accommodate, but it's only a couple hundred, I think.
Yeah, I don't think it's more than about 300.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. I think you're right.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and of course, we also have a 3-day international conference on the pastoral care of hearing impaired, deaf people.
Mm-hmm. Exactly, and the church, vis-a-vis the church and its ministry and its pastoral care. And I thought it was fascinating that Archbishop Zygmunt Zymowski, who's president of the Pontifical Council for Healthcare Workers or Healthcare Pastoral, he said there's 278 million people in the world today who suffer from hearing impairment, of whom 59 million are profoundly deaf. And interestingly enough, he said 80% of deaf people live in the less developed areas of the planet. And then referring just to the Catholic Church, he said it's estimated there are about 1.3 million deaf people in the Catholic Church. And he said they face particular difficulties in participating fully in religious practices. So you've got that conference, which, 3 days began on Thursday. So big week. I mean, press conferences and meetings and seminars and the Pope's speeches and Wednesday audience. He met with students on Thursday morning in the Paul VI Hall, met with them at noon, and the artist. Just a huge week for the Holy Father and for us, because we cover him.
That's right. Well, Joan, I'm afraid, as usual, we've overstepped our time slot. So thanks very much for being with me, and we look forward to seeing
you again
next time. Bye-bye.